The Cork Food Stories Podcast with Clara Cooney. A taste of Cork's food producers and suppliers, where every flavour tells a story.
Welcome to this week's episode of Cork Food Stories in collaboration with Red FM. I am Clara Cooney, owner of Clara Cooks and the Gourmet Grocer, Deli and Catering Services. This is our final episode of this series and we're finishing on a sweet note. My guest this week is the fabulous Shannon Keane, owner of Diva Boutique Bakery and Leafine Mercantile in Ballinspittle. In the bakery, they have the most delicious bakes. She's 21 years in business this year and Shannon has seen it all. She's gone through so many changes and challenges and come out the other end, and through it all, kept her business going with her head held high. Shannon, welcome and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and talk to us.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, you're not an Irish she's not originated, but we can say that she's almost Irish anyway, you know. But so let's go back, Shannon. You're from Seattle originally. Tell us a little bit about you growing up around food when you were a child.
Yeah, so I grew up in Seattle. And of course, like anybody, I think in food culture or food business, there's always somebody that influences them, you know, to kind of go that way. It definitely wasn't my mother, because my mother couldn't, she panicked with cooking. It was my grandmother. You know, she always was the type of person that would have parties, you know, always kind of fancy dress events. She's really into that and hosting people. And same with my dad's mother. He was one of seven. And so there was like 25 grandkids. And
amazing.
So, you know, their house was always full. And it was great just to have that, just that really lovely kind of party community atmosphere. And so on both ends of the pendulum, but neither of my parents, like, they just, you know, steamed broccoli would be dinner. Hopefully my mom doesn't hear this.
You have your grand to learn how to cook.
Yeah. And so she, unfortunately, she passed away when she was 63. I was 21 at the time. And then I kind of took over. She was really the kind of the heart of the family. And so I kind of stepped in her shoes then, and that's kind of led me on to exploring and doing more cooking. And I had a housemate at the time that was in culinary school as well. So her and I were always, you know, doing stuff together.
So
and
you were getting the lessons without paying.
Yeah, without paying. Yeah, exactly. And then I think that I met her, I was working at a kind of a specialty grocery, like a produce store. Yeah. So this was in the 80s. And so they had like really nice deli, and like I think they were even doing free range chicken back then, you know. Just remember cleaning out the chicken counter. It was just a nightmare.
Funny enough, most chicken was free
yeah,
range.
Yeah, I think it was. So I mean, it was, I think that was 1980,
yeah,
85 or something. I worked there, and then yeah, that was sort of through high school, and then finished high school, and her and I lived together, and then she went to culinary school. So I kind of helped her she did some small catering jobs, and we were also doing catering jobs in the deli together as well. So I think that was the start. Then I went to Dutch Harbor and worked in Alaska on fishing boats. That's where I met my ex-husband.
You're Irish.
Yeah.
He's a man from Connemara. Is that where he's
Galway,
from?
Galway, close to Glenamaddy.
Oh yeah.
Out in the country.
Yeah.
Well, so met him there, and we came back to Ireland. I think the first time I visited was 30 years ago, and we kept coming back every year, and we could see things were changing. Like when I first went to Galway, it was really hard to get a coffee. Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah.
We went to this place called News at 10 on Shop Street, and it was, that's where my sister-in-law went, and you know, the instant coffee, and of course, being American, it's like, can I have a coffee with cream? And a big blob of cream would go on, you know, because that's what we would do. Sorry, that's really bad, probably American accent, but it was just, I just envisioned myself asking somebody that, like, so then, like, we come back quite frequently, and Galway was buzzing, and more people, like, you know, each time, I think we'd come back maybe a couple of times a year, and every time there'd be a change, you know, in Galway city itself.
Yeah.
Because my ex-husband's a fisherman, so a lot of Irish fishermen left Killybegs and went to Seattle, and one of them started a coffee place across from the Central Park nightclub. The CP is called the Couch Potato, or no, it was Mocha's.
Yeah.
So he would have been fishing in Bristol Bay in Alaska and came back to Galway to start that. That was the first coffee house I saw in Galway, like, you know, kind of proper, I suppose.
So that was like in the 90s, was it?
Yeah, that would have been in like 94.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first time we came over was in 93, and then I think the following year in 94, maybe even 93 when I went to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just, you know, you could just see changes happening slowly, and we made the decision to move over and open a coffee house here. And that's how I ended up in Kinsale. Probably a lot of people don't realize I was in Kinsale first.
Yes, because you were in Kinsale. So you moved over. What year did you move
over? We moved over in 2000.
In 2000.
Yeah, came over in 99, kind of started making the move over in 99 and then fully moved in 2000. And then I opened Diva in Kinsale in May 2002. Yeah.
Because even back then, right, there wasn't really a coffee culture.
No.
And so in 2000, I'd done just my year backpacking around Australia. And there was a coffee culture in Australia.
Definitely.
And I came home here and they still had, you know, the filtered coffee, like that they pour into your cup and you can get your top up. But it could have been sitting there like all day long.
Yeah, all brewing all day.
So there wasn't a lot of coffee speciality places.
No.
You know, even like moving into Kinsale, were you one of the first? You were definitely must have been one of the first.
I was kind of the first, like we had couches and we had big, we had couch and lounge chairs in the back and like a back cubby. And a friend of mine's an artist, Jane Skogard, and she did these crazy paintings of naked ladies, like kind of outline drawing of like drinking coffee, not very, you know, just like forms, you know. I have some photos of them. And I remember like people would just come in to take their pictures in the back. Like I remember 15 Japanese students walked right through, right to the back to take the photograph. Because we were in like some of the guidebooks, you know, and there was guidebooks like The Lonely Planet. And I think a lot of people met there, like a lot of backpackers would meet at Diva.
Which is amazing because we didn't have social media then.
No, there was nothing. MySpace, I had MySpace.
Was there
Facebook
then?
Nope. I mean, it was dial-up internet back then. And then I think I had MySpace in 2006. I had a MySpace account. End of 2006, 2007 was when MySpace for Diva.
Yeah.
And then Facebook was probably about a year and a half after. And then even then, you just didn't really know what to do with it. And then I started using it quite heavily.
Yeah, it was mad. I worked at the time. I was in HR working for Vodafone. And everyone kind of got an opportunity to be what they call product wizards. And do you remember the dongles for your laptop?
Yeah.
So the 1G and 2G dongles, I'd be testing them at home. Yeah. And we'd taken on the Blackberries and then we eventually took on the Nokias and we were testing. So we'd had sister countries. So our sister country was New Zealand at the time. And we were testing doing video calls with these new Nokias. I mean, it's not that long ago.
No, it's not, because I even think like I didn't, definitely there was no laptop. I had a Mac that I brought over from the States with me. I think we were kind of the first kind of that kind of style. Like we didn't serve wine. I think people, there was rumor that it was wanted to be a wine bar. But I felt like when I came to Ireland the first time, there just wasn't a place to sit and meet that you didn't have to. It was either a pub.
Yeah.
And there was smoking back then.
Yeah.
Remember? Oh, yeah. All the smoking. So even when you go into a pub, your hair would just stink. There just wasn't a place to meet, so that's why I was like, I missed that, I suppose, just meeting somebody for a coffee or tea. So there was a couple other places, but like really we were a little bit more alternative. I think there was like little Patsy's Corner would have been in Kinsale, she, you know, she's an institution, so, but we weren't like that at all. And I could tell, like when customers would walk in, I'd be like, no, they're Patsy's customer. I was like, just go down to Patsy, get what you want, come back to us and have a slice a cake or, you know, a coffee, but you're not going to be happy here, you know.
But like even the coffee, like what was your choice of coffee beans?
Well,
back then?
Do you know who I went with and I'm still with them is Maher's.
Maher's. Oh, did you?
I went with Maher's them at the beginning and I really like them. They deliver to me every Friday. I don't have to, they're just there. My machine breaks, they're there.
Yeah.
They do a really lovely fair trade espresso blend, and all my customers, like I, when I had after the gas explosion. I had a new machine and I went with some more, like I went with Cloud Picker and eventually with West Cork Coffee Roasters. But a lot of my old customers would go over to the bakery because I just kept the regular.
Mars there. Yeah. Yeah. I have West Cork Coffee in mine.
Yeah. And yeah. I love it. No, yeah. I love Tony's Brilliant. Yeah. But I just found for my customer base, they just.
Perfect.
You know, some customers that were works. Like, they like the more, you know, artisan roast, and others just prefer the, you know, espresso blend. So I've just kept with that, but that they've been with me since the start.
Brilliant. So you were there in Kinsale for 6 years. Now, a lot of people might go, you must be crazy. What are you going to balance?
No, a lot of people did.
You're leaving this town that has loads of footfall, who's loads of tourists, to a place that no one goes to except when the moving statue is happening.
So what happened with that was had the cafe. And then I noticed a big change out in Garrettstown, like a lot of surfing. Surfing was kind
surfing's
of kicking
big,
off. And I remember going into Centra there. This was in 2005. My kids went to school in Ballinadee, so I would have kind of been in that area. I went from Kinsale to Ballinadee. I remember seeing a guy surfing. He definitely was a surfer. And he just wanted to get some food. But he was looking around for food. Do you guys have those? Do you have that? And I was like, ooh, there's a little... Okay, so he's looking for a sandwich. There wasn't as much... Like, the Centras weren't like they were... Now,
yeah, they didn't have delis.
Yeah, they didn't have, you know, I mean, I don't even know did they have the little sandwiches that they, you know, you just grab them. They may have, but it was so long ago, I forget. So I just could see, like, a lot of my friends were talking about surfing. The Kinsale permaculture course was happening in Kinsale, and a lot of people were living out in Garrettstown because they would have had that kind of lifestyles. Surfing, and they're young, and, you know, lots of house parties. And so this is kind of this whole little... area was brewing out there, and it was my landlord's Lorden's Butchers that asked me. They came to me and said, listen, do you want to open a cafe here? I said, yeah, you know, the rent was affordable and I wasn't getting
and it was a nice spot as well.
It's a nice spot and I wasn't getting parking tickets because I was always getting parking tickets in front, because, you know, you would arrive and I'd open my boot, run in to unload stuff for the cafe in Kinsale, and then you get stuck there because...
Was it just the discs at the time? Was it that you put it on the front screen that you just scribble out?
Yeah.
It was like a scratch card.
And I forget, like I had them... But I would just get like swallowed up by the cafe because they'd be busy and they'd need help and I couldn't leave them behind. You know, it just happened. And then I'd just be there for hours and then I'd go out and there'd be a ticket on my bonnet. The tickets, the affordable rent. There was good parking in Ballinspittle. And if anybody is familiar with Ballinspittle, it is like cowboy land. Like people park everywhere. It's like...
Where's the parking? Yeah, you just it's
okay.
Stop.
And I think at the time as well, Kinsale was getting their waterworks. The whole town was dug up. Actually, what happened was they would come out to Ballinspittle because we had a petrol station there. You had Centra. There's hair salon there. And then we were there. So you could... a lot of people are like, oh, I can get my petrol. I can go do my shopping. Yeah. Oh, the butcher was there. So they go out to the butcher and they get their hair done. So there was this bit of a little... And people supported me because
we always, like, anytime we've gone to Garrettstown, we'd have stopped at Diva's.
Yeah. So, or, you know,
go and get a coffee and a slice of cake. Or,
And now
and it was cozy in there. It was small at the start. I think when you moved there at the start, it was a small place, wasn't it?
Only
it was
two tables.
It's just two tables.
Wow. So it was two tables and we had a tiny kitchen in the back, and my landlords were really supportive and they put on an extension. So part of the problem was I didn't have two toilets. I just had one toilet. So really people weren't allowed to...
So
we had it kind of... It was really just a proper like little bakery takeaway thing. But then a lot of my customers were from Kinsale were really a little bit upset that they couldn't sit. I remember one of my customers saying, oh, it's just not like how it used to be. And I'm like, I didn't have space.
Yeah.
So then we went to eight tables. So through the years, the extension, then we had eight tables in the cafe itself and then a couple of tables outside. So I think we could seat about 27 or 28.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. Oh, huge. Huge, huge difference, you know. So that was in the end. That's how it was. But
you also, like, you weren't just doing the cafe, because I know you provided cakes to a friend of mine, Owen, in Filter.
Yeah.
But you were providing cakes. And
yeah. So basically what happened was, then I have to say, my brother, I have a younger brother, Taylor, and I think we're 16 or 17 years apart. He came over to stay with me when he was 19 and finished high school, and I needed him to help me. So I said, look, you have to work in the cafe, you have to mind the kids while I'm gone, and you have to do, basically, you just have to be me. And he got back from backpacking around South America, and so he's like, okay, he kind of got into it. He didn't know what he wanted to do, so, you know, I was showing him how to do my scones and, you know, just the kind of stuff that I would have done. He stayed for a while, and then he went back to Seattle and got his degree in pastry. So he got a pastry degree, and amazing. Then said he wanted to come back and help me, and that was really good. But, you know, working with family has its it was the funniest thing. And I'd say he's so sick of me hearing this. So he came back from culinary school in Seattle, you know, where it's busy. It's, you know, the population of Seattle is the population of Ireland. And we're in Ballinspittal, and he's looking around, where's your backstock? And right then I was like, look, do you see where we are? That tractor, I buy stock when I get money. Like, I can't afford to have back stock right now. You know, the money comes in, the money goes out. And
zero waste.
Yeah, zero literally waste. Was.
Exactly.
And so he really helped me. And basically, the Lordens had a space across the street. And, you know, we were kind of growing out of our tiny kitchen. You know, he was doing baking at night. So we started doing all of our own sourdough bread. This was a long time ago. So
before sourdoughs became nobody
really bought it. Used it for the sandwiches. We had this basket. I don't think they saw it. You know, we had our brown bread. We were doing like four different types of sourdough and a regular bread. So then I was like, look, why don't we just move? I'll take a chance, move across the street, and we'll do a mini bakery over there and just see what happens. And I literally just shoved him over there. He had one little table, and we tried to make it as nice as possible. And actually, looking back, it was super cute, you know? And he was there, and he was kind of running the whole thing on his own. And
that was like did you have a kitchen, but did you have it open to the public as well?
It was like a little, just a little deli. We had a little serve over and a table that we made out of an old vintage door. And we just put legs on it, and we put all the bread on it. And then the bread sold.
Yeah.
So the bread started selling, and the cake started selling. And then he started getting busy over in his unit. And so then we just started employing more people to help. And then it grew. Basically what happened, it kind of grew from what I had originally put in Ballinspittal from Kinsale.
Yeah.
We just moved it across the street. And then the vibe from Kinsale eventually turned into Ballinspittal. Yeah. So it just kind of went through a couple of different incarnations. Like, we even did a wine bar. I had a wine bar at once that he was kind of helping me with.
Because you were doing some pop-up dinners and stuff.
Yeah, we did a lot of pop-up dinners. So my brother's partner, Kevin O'Connell, he has a company called Forage and Find.
Yeah.
Don't know if you've ever heard. Yeah, he's brilliant. Great. So he was at a Loose End chefing. And so he would chef at night. And I would kind of prep everything for him. And, you know, we'd make up the menu together, and then we did night times. And
that was fun.
It was really fun. It was fun, but it just wasn't really sustainable to do all that. So I've dabbled. The wine bar I loved, but again, people weren't buying enough wine then. Yeah. I think they had a hard time associating the cafe with wine at night.
It was
hard to do the changeover, especially in the summer. It's still bright, so you can't have that moody kind of vibe that you want. We tried it.
You tried it. Exactly.
You tried
a lot.
Yeah. Tried everything. And then the wholesale. So I've always done the whole. Yeah. So that was one of the things people started asking us for cakes. And so I kind of fell into that just purely because people were asking. It wasn't like I set out to do it. So I was supplying to ABC up in the English Market and Soma and Filter. And then there was a little cafe in Kinsale called Poet's Corner.
Yeah.
So I was doing their bread and a few of their cakes, and the Black Pig, we did their bread for a while. Pretty much everything up until COVID. And then when COVID came, I just had a huge reconfiguration of everything.
Let's talk a little bit before COVID, right? Because everything was going great.
Everything was going great.
It's going wonderful. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so happy. Everything's thing. And then a couple of things happened, one after the other for you, which to me, I look at you and go, boy, oh my God, that's a resilient woman to get through. So I think 2015 was the first little hurdle.
Yeah.
We call it a little hurdle.
It was a little hurdle. And we had just opened. We closed for the winter because there's just really no business in that area in January and February. So reopened and everything was guns a-blazing, having a great time. I was actually up in Galway with my friend at an event that was happening, a food event over there. And the next morning I saw the phone, like the cafe had called. And I was like, gosh, can't they just handle one night on their own, one afternoon? And then I'm like, I couldn't get through to them. And then a friend of mine called and said, Shannon, your cafe is on fire. And then I heard it on the radio. Blast in Bell and Spittle. So I rang my partner, Richard, and I said, can you just go? There's a fire. And
you're saying this so calmly.
There's a fire in the cafe.
Well, he said, yeah, I'll go check it out. And then he went and it was really like, you know, fire brigade. Like,
So what happened?
So basically what happened was we had a faulty gas bottle.
This was a new gas bottle though as well, wasn't it?
It was a new gas bottle. Yeah. So it was a new gas bottle and we had two gas bottles. I had just had all my gas, everything. I try and do any kind of repairs over the winter that we need. And a guy was servicing our cooker and he said, listen, you need to take care of your gas line or whatever. It needs to be upgraded. So I rang my plumber and he upgraded the gas line and everything was great and got a new gas bottle. And then we went to switch the gas bottle over because one had from the winter, there was still gas in from the winter. And so we had used that for 2 or 3 days and we went to swap over the new one. And we just couldn't get it open. We just were having a difficult time. We couldn't figure out was it open, was it closed. And we had JJ from Centra come over and because we bought the bottles from them. And we're just like, look, can you just take this away? Because there's something wrong with it. We can't get the gas flow. And so he was trying to fix it. And he's like, look, I'll just take it away. And basically what happened, he plugged it out and it was wide open. And it was like a ricochet. So there was like a brick where our yard was. It kind of like went against the brick and then ricocheted back into the kitchen. And luckily, Jamie, my chef, he was like on the ball and he turned off the gas and he just said to JJ, get out of there. And they ran out, but the pilot light was still on. So the pilot, you know, your gas pilot light, you know, gas is heavier than air and it just fell down and it ignited the whole thing. JJ had some burns and he had to go to the hospital. Jamie, who worked for me, had a beard. So his beard saved his face.
Wow.
Because his beard was burnt. And we had a full cafe. The place was packed. And those fire doors, telling you, they work, even though they're, you know, you're like, why do I need a fire door? They that protected. Like if you were to look into the cafe as an outsider looking in, like, why are they closed? And because you could see, there was no damage on the outside. Everybody had their coffee. There was scones left on the table.
All just in the kitchen.
And the kitchen, you walked in and it was just like something out of Alien, you know, because the kitchen was all wrapped in the PVC and that all just melted
down.
And then just stuff, like there is no bins. The bins disintegrated. Like with a gas fire, how the fire brigade handles it, they just let it go out. They can't control it really. So if you can imagine one of those big orange gas bottles.
Yeah.
It was just like a torch just flying right into the kitchen.
And full.
Full. That. Thank God I had insurance. And I had done some work on
But you know, just two things you've just mentioned there. Mm. The importance of when you're creating a commercial kitchen, your proper fire and safety regulations, having your fire door and having everything there that you need to have. And also obviously the switch on of your staff because they knew what to do. So they would get out, da da da. They were aware of what was happening. And your insurance, the importance of insurance.
Yeah. And I had actually upped it that year because the year before, I think I had, my policy renews every like summer. So that summer before, I had upgraded the bathroom. You know, I'd done some upgrades because I was always like water damage. You know, you're thinking about these things.
Yeah.
And I luckily had a decent, because a lot of people are underinsured. And they don't realize they're underinsured and they might want to save some money here and there. But honestly, it's not worth it.
I was the opposite. I was overinsured last year and then my insurance broke. I'm like, you don't need all this. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, to save money. But like, I do think it's important. Like, it's good to be over because you just never know. And especially with the price of everything. Like, you know, when you get your insurance and then suddenly it's like, ooh, this is a lot more. So I really, really thankful that I was insured. I tried to keep my staff on because I thought we were only going to be out of business for 2 months. But then that opened a whole can of worms because the cafe, there was an apartment on top. So then everything had to be triple slab. There was all this other stuff that you just don't even think about. So I was paying staff all summer to hang on to them. We were bumping into each other. Everybody was, because I was like, I can't let them go because I'm going to need them if we open in July. I mean, this was in March. And sure, I didn't need them at all. Like, we didn't open till October. They were all gone then, you know? So it was really, but you just don't really know what to do.
No, I know.
You really don't know what to do. You know, I was spending money that I probably didn't need to be spending. Yeah. And so that was, even though, like, insurance covered a lot, there was things it just wouldn't have covered, you know?
Yeah.
So that was that. And then I think the following year, Rubrics happened in Kinsale.
So you opened, but did you open again? When did you open after?
October.
October.
And then we closed again for the
January,
winter.
January, February, yeah.
And then I think what happened was we might have had one good year of trading, and then Roadworks happened in Ballinspittle. And that was, you know, we got through that. But the first, I remember asking the girls in the bakery, I was like, oh, how'd we do today? And they're like, Shannon, we don't want to tell you. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, it can't be that bad. They're like, no, don't ask us. I think I took in 20 euro that day. Because nobody can get in, you know, like you just are. So as much as the council, I know, tries to make it accessible, but like really who's going to, you know, walk to your place if they don't have to?
Yeah, they don't. That's it. It's like anything. They avoid it. We all avoid roadworks in a town. Absolutely.
Yeah. We don't go near so it. Then actually also what happened that same summer, that winter after the fire, then we had the flood at Christmas Eve.
Oh, yes.
We walked in and our whole place was flooded in the bakery. But luckily I had a drain, you know, a floor drain when we washed the floors. So the water actually had a place to go, but it
was very lucky.
Yeah, but it was not, like silt.
It's not everyone has those floor drains.
No, and
they don't think about them.
No, we did it. My partner Richard put it in because just mopping the floor was a pain. So we put that in. But I'm glad we did because the water just went through. All of our fridges were turned off. Everything had tripped, and there was silt everywhere. There was just mud everywhere, and that was Christmas Eve. And people were coming to pick up their stuff. Yeah. But luckily, Jamie had gone in at like 5 a.m. So we had time to do turnaround of my electrician. A good thing to have electrician.
And electricians, plumbers.
Yeah, electricians, refrigeration plumbers, accountants, everything. Yep. So he came down because I'd say he was getting, his phone was probably hopping and everybody was in the same way. But everything got turned back on. We got regrouped. And yeah, we were able to finish the end of the season. That was, yeah, so it was.
So you just about got through that season.
Just about.
When was that then? That must have been, 2017, 18?
So that was 2015. So the fire happened, we reopened, and then that evening we had the flood.
Oh, yes.
So at the end of the year. So we opened in October, then we had the flood. Yeah, that was 2015. And I think we had a good run of it of 2016. I think actually that was a clear, like nothing.
Ophelia was 2017.
Ophelia then, a whole freezer, no power.
Everything
and not even enough to claim on insurance, really. Do you know? That's kind of the other thing. So that was a bit of a pain. Oh, Roadworks then were somewhere. Was that maybe 2018? I don't know. It was somewhere between, obviously, 2015 and then we have 2019 coming up, the end of 2019. I think 2019 was grand. We had a good year.
Yeah.
In 2018.
So it was ups and downs. Like you were just coming out of stuff.
Yeah, and then
happens.
you just
come out, you get it, and you go, great, we're back up again, and then something else happens.
Jeez. So then, of course, COVID hit. The one thing I will say about COVID for me, and I know not everybody had a positive experience, but I had a really, really positive experience because I had been through so much on my own that it finally felt like we're all in this together, you know, like we're all kind of in it together, you know, because sometimes when you're going through stuff, you feel so on your own. But I remember thinking that I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like so glad it's just not me trying to, you know, I feel like I have a bit more behind me now, like with anything, you know, dealing with anything. It was just like, yeah, we're.
And I suppose like your staff were looked after because everyone got the pup.
Mm-hmm. And for once, like self-employed people got the pup, which made a huge difference.
Huge difference.
Huge difference. I wouldn't have been able, like it would have been really, really, really hard.
No, I think it's one thing we can say is that the government did look after
everybody. They did. And we were able to get a restart grant Yeah. I wasn't able to avail of a lot of the other things, but the restart grant I was able to avail.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. Like so I didn't have a tax clearance certificate. So.
Oh, yeah. So what that was another story, isn't it?
That was another story. Like I said,
I learned. You need to write a book.
I know.
I've
learned everything that I could do, what not to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. You want to start your own business? Yeah. Don't do this. So really, you know, obviously fresh off the boat from America and opening a business and thinking that it's just really not having a clue, to be fair. I just knew I wanted to create an atmosphere. And I think a lot of artistic people or creative people, they like look at the what you're providing. They don't like doing the back end stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
the paperwork.
Yeah, the paperwork or up, you know, all that stuff. I noticed that with people. So I approached an accountant that I thought was a good accountant, but he didn't really sit me down and set me up. And he gave me a bit of advice, but just really didn't tell me like how to set up my systems and I would have been used to that. Our accountant in the States would have done all that, but head in the sand as well. You know, I can't blame it on other people. Like I was doing it, you know, I was running the business. I was paying everybody. I was probably way overpaying everybody. And so basically I had a really good accountant that I hired, who was still my accountant. And she went through everything with a fine tooth comb. And basically a lot of my VAT returns were not correct. I was paying the same VAT in August that I was in February. And so she saved me about 40 grand in VAT. But I've been playing catch up. I had been playing catch up all the time, like just clearing, you know, putting out fires. And back then the revenue wasn't really they weren't very good to deal with. They're pretty hard nosed. So,
but also I don't think they had very good self-explanatory systems where,
it was really
where now you can go online, you can just go, this is what I have to do, this is what I have to
do. Now it's so much clearer. Like, much clearer. I'd say I've learned more in the last 5 years and even just, you know, saving my VAT, being diligent about this stuff.
Being really diligent.
But I wish I would have had a good foundation at that time. So basically what happened was when 2019 came around, I had some revenue stuff from 2019. So I wasn't able to get, you had to have a tax clearance certificate to get any of the other funding. So I was like, well, okay, look, this is us now. We're not getting any help. But we did get the restart grant from the council. So that was brilliant. That really helped. And I reduced my staff down to 3. And then just 2 years ago or a year ago, there was a really lovely woman in revenue. And she's like, look, you've paid all this money for 2020 and 2021, we're going to move that to your 18. So you get a tax clearance certificate because they're warehousing all the 20 and 21 stuff.
Amazing.
So that's what the revenue had done, like they're warehousing stuff. So it's great. So now it's brilliant. I'm having somebody really good. Yeah. And I'm like militant. So that is like advice I would say. If you're VAT registered, save every single little receipt, you know.
Yeah. Even for 7 years.
Yeah, because, well, even just the VAT return, like you have no idea how much VAT is on paper products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just did mine this morning. So it's, the VAT returns, I keep absolutely everything, which I have a really good system that does the VAT report for me, as in my sales.
Yeah.
So most of my food is not 0%.
Exactly.
Yours would be for certain things, but for your cakes, it's
13 for cake and coffee, and then all of our sandwiches.
But that all changed as well. Even coffee percentages change. So if you've coffee on the shelves that's in the packs, it's 0. But if you're serving a cup of coffee, it's 9% right now.
And I still have it in as 13.
And cakes did go from 0 to 13. And you have to keep on top of everything.
You totally
do. Food business. There's so many.
Yeah, there's so many things. Yeah. And if anybody is listening to this and thinking about going into the food industry, I would definitely get a really good accountant. Somebody that understands you. Like my gal that I have now, she's just so positive and just so good. And she's, you know, like, I need more receipts. You've paid this, but I need the receipt. And I know this is a VATable receipt.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's not a grocery thing. It's something repair. And she's really encouraging, you know. She's like, you've had a great year. You're doing so great. You're doing amazing. And then having a really good refrigeration, that's another, as you probably know.
Yeah.
Like, those are things, like, you need good people behind you to keep the show on the road and your staff.
Yeah.
you know, just I have had great staff. I've been so blessed with so many amazing people that have come to work. And one of my ex-employees just started his own business, The Pie Guys.
Oh, their stuff is amazing.
Yeah.
And one of the girls who works with me, she also has another job. She works in Post House in Kinsale. They provide their stuff into the thing.
Yeah.
But it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's lovely to see other people starting their own businesses.
Yeah. So he was with me for 8 years up until November and kind of came from an accounting background and made a life change. And then Rebecca Scott, she has Rebecca's Kitchen. Yeah. She would have worked with me for about 3 years before starting. She had always kind of done her own stuff.
The last person I had on that we were going through my gog, they're one of the first that we were talking about Rebecca's Kitchen in the last episode.
So
Rebecca, you've got two mentions now.
Yeah.
On the podcast. There you go.
So she, yeah. And it's great, like, when people do kind of go and do their own thing, and it's like a little springboard. But yeah, Jamie and Tim is actually my ex-business partner from Leafling as well, the refill shop.
Yeah.
So those two got together and started their own business. So
talk to us a little bit, because you closed the cafe down.
Yeah. So basically, prior to, in 2019, in April 2019, earlier that year, the butcher shop had closed, the Lorden's Butcher. They'd been in the village for like 45 years and they were done. They're like, no, we're closing up. And basically, I find Ballan Spittle is kind of like a little symbiotic village because we don't have a lot of duplicates. The butcher is right next door to the bakery, so people would have got their meat and came over to us or go have a coffee with the hairdresser.
Nice.
And, you know, there's Centro, so, and there's a co-op, so there's a pub there. So there's all these little things that one can come to the village for, you know, it'd encourage them. So when the butcher shop closed, I was like, ooh, that's not good for my business because now they're not going to come to the village.
To get their meat, yeah.
So I approached Tim Kennedy, who's Pie Guys, and he's a great customer of mine for years and a friend. And I just said, what do you think about a refill shop? Because that's the thing. And he was like, interesting. You know, I kind of just threw it out to him. And he actually came back to me and was like, maybe, yeah, this could work. So we approached the Lordens about taking over the front shop, and they were still doing stuff in the back. They had their butchery in the back. And so we were able to still sell their meat in the front because we kept a fridge. So that kept people coming in.
Oh, very
And clever. We kind of changed it a bit. We did free range pork sausages and only free range chicken and only, well, obviously beef and lamb in Ireland is pretty high welfare. And trying to do only organic, and basically that's how that happened. And then that was going well, so people were getting into it, and then of course COVID happened. So I had the cafe from the Lordens, I had Leafling, and I rent from them and the bakery. And basically there was no way the cafe was going to be a runner for that year. I could just, we had traded for 2 weeks, you know, before they did the final thing. And just with the social distancing of three, you know, we only have 8 tables.
Yeah.
So there was only less than half really. And the way the cafe was laid out, it just wasn't going to work. So I decided to just say, look, I can't, you know, see this happening. My insurance was coming up again in June. It wasn't just the rent. It was just like everything, you know, it was like a monster, once you start getting, you know, you have to pay the insurance and you have to get the staff and then you have to pay the rent, you know, all this stuff.
Huge.
And you just sit down and look at the numbers like, okay, are we going to, it's not going to work. So I just said, look, I'm really sorry. It's just not going to work. I'm going to give you my keys back. And they were like, okay. Do you know, it just, and so we basically super skeleton through COVID, three of us in the bakery, and just were, and actually life became a lot easier.
But it gave you an opportunity to do a few other things as well.
Yeah. I was doing the wholesale. So we were still doing the wholesale.
Yeah.
And then Leafling, I bought my business partner Tim out from Leafling because, so that was good. And then also, I guess, I just put my life in front of my business rather than my business in front of my life. So we now close for our staff holidays at the end of August. It's like the quietest week of the year because all the kids are getting ready back to school.
100%.
We close, we'll close for the last 2 weeks, and everybody gets to break at once. We all come back to work at once, and we hit Christmas. And then, you know, take our break again for winter and reopen again.
Which is brilliant. But I see you've done a little bit of kind of like extra things, like doing a bit of food styling.
Oh, and, yeah.
Did you do some TV work or something?
So I did. So basically, this allowed me, a friend of mine, Iman McDonald, she had started Lens and Larder, which was a food photography and styling retreats. She was working at Troy Studios on Foundation, and there was somebody out sick, and she put my name forward to help. And I said, yeah. And I got interviewed by Janice Poon, who is huge in the food styling world. She does all of the Hannibal and she did all the Star Trek and lots of food. Yeah. Learned with her and she, you know, learned a lot with her. And she is a tough worker, you know, she's super particular. And it was really an experience, like being on set and doing all this food styling. It was insane, like especially sci-fi.
Yeah,
I was making like planets and stuff.
You're a little bit
I was mad. We were making like planets out of cake and like doing all these things. Everything had to be edible.
Experience.
Yeah, so just doing like making all these weird looking like canapé things to put on these tables that look like tentacles and, you know, styling octopus and, you know, just doing all, making all these weird jello mold things and, you know, lots of long hours, but really interesting and, you know, really people work hard on these films, you know. So then did that. And then that was 2020. So that was November 2020. And again, COVID test every on the film set. We had to be masked up and have trackers on us and make sure we weren't getting too close to each other. And COVID test every second day. And, you know, really, they were on top of it because they didn't want the production set down. So that was Foundation. And then that following May, I fed a film crew that was filming independent film called Sparrow.
Yeah.
And that was in Baltimore. Oh, so I got to stay out in Glebe Gardens.
Own that. It's gorgeous.
Tessa, So I was down with them and we were feeding a crew and that was interesting as well because it was miserable and wet and they were shooting. We had to give them food all over location. So I learned a lot about that. So those were two kind of foodie kind of film things that I did. And yeah, it was great to just kind of branch out.
But isn't it great that you just get these opportunities to come your way? Sometimes I think you need to kind of stop certain things and then other things. As they say, you close one door, another door
something
opens.
Something
opens. It is true, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it was right when I needed it. And it just really helped things along. So no, really grateful for that.
So now, like you've got the bakery, and of course you have the gorgeous refill business. If people don't know what a refill business is, basically, it's no kind of packaging, so you can come down with your jars or whatever. Yeah. It gets weighed. All your grains. You've loads of grains and nuts. And
so
seeds
we have loads of grains, nuts, seeds. I mean, we try to be 100% plastic free, but it's really, really hard. Really hard, especially for shelf life stuff with meats and things. And people want the cheese and they want the bits and pieces. Yeah. So we just try and keep about 80% of it. Like all of
certain
our vegetables
need to be vacuum packed.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But yeah, you can get all your spices. Olives or, you know, all the stuff.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. So it is good. And it's good, you know, people are catching on and they're being prepared and they're coming in. And
you have the lovely restaurant Wild there now as well.
Yeah, he's doing really good. Yeah,
yes,
Rob is doing great.
A few times.
Yeah, it's lovely. They're doing great. It's good to see them because they started right at COVID.
They did, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm so glad to see they're still there. And
it's just beautiful inside.
Yeah.
So it's just cozy.
Yeah.
Feels nearly like you're sitting at home.
No, they've done a beautiful job. And just such a great addition to the village to have that there, you know.
A lot of people wouldn't think of going to Ballinspittle, but it's actually a gorgeous little town.
Yeah.
What is it, 10 minutes from Garrettstown?
It's like 4 or 5 minutes from Garrettstown, 8.
So
and then we have Tokeneezel, like Emily's shop is there. And then there's a lovely wool yarn shop where the cafe was.
Yeah.
Olga's doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
So, no, it's great. Like, it is, it's a great little place and it gets busy in the summer. And, you know, I really enjoy it there. And that was the thing. People did think I was mad to leave from Kinsale to Ballinspittle.
But it's been a good
move. Yeah, it's probably been the best decision I've made.
Exactly.
It has.
So, you're enjoying your work-life balance. What's next? What's going on with you?
Gosh, well, I'll be 55 this year. Woo-hoo! So, yeah,
Look it. Well done, you. All that stress, obviously.
Yeah, I know.
You must be doing something right.
Lots of face cream.
Yeah.
Jeez. No, so I'm just like, oh, gosh, what do I want? You know, I really, it's, you know, yourself, you're standing a lot. You're, you know, it's not the best on your body. I mean, I guess I'd like to be retired in some form in 5 years or whatever. I just can't see myself being in there every day at 60.
You know, you could still have a running business.
Yeah.
Being there every day.
We'll see.
I think it's more of a mental thing of you being able to switch off and saying, I don't need to be there every day
Is. I mean, I would love, ideally, it would be amazing if to say my kids would like to carry on the torch, but they really don't have any interest in food. You know, because I'm 60 doesn't, I know I don't want to be there, but it would be nice to have it there for somebody to, you know, but until then I'm there.
Exactly. And I mean, your kids are off traveling the world at the moment, so they're having a hoolie of a time.
Yeah, they're not
definitely not thinking of coming back working in the bakery in Bath.
No. No. And I suppose they see how hard I work, you know, they would have seen how hard it is. I think the thing is there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to get the food out to you. And it is hard work, like, but it's hard, and it's just so satisfying. It's just so, I mean, we had the most beautiful Danish pastry, like with roasted peaches, and we had a lovely creme pie, like this really, really delicious food. Yeah. And you just really want to make sure everybody gets it.
Have you had any crazy requests?
A lot of novelty cakes, you know, wanting a few things, but there's so many other people doing it. I just don't do the novelty cakes. No, I can't. I'm not that artistic.
I've never been into them. No interest in it.
And I would love to. I don't have that patience to do all the petals and all the the sugar paste stuff. Crazy request, mostly just different cakes, like a boat or,
tractors and
that kind of thing. Yeah. And no, really, no.
I often watch these on TikTok, especially these bakers who get these mad, takes them weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to create these ginormous models of cakes.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
And
I think the thing is they have to be a certain type of person that does that. I just, no. I mean, I suppose we're kind of moving, like we have all of our cakes and then we're doing, like, I guess people are kind of wanting the stuff that was in the cafe.
Yes.
So I've actually I saved all my kitchen equipment. So we're doing toasties and our chips and stuff.
Fab.
And then we're still doing, everybody's into pastries. It's amazing now. We were hand rolling, my brother was hand rolling all of our pastries and puff pastry when he came in 2006.
Yeah.
And it's just so crazy to see all the pastry people, like how Ireland has just exploded.
It's exploded.
Yeah.
There's some beautiful. Yeah. Have you gone over to Chris and wife?
Yeah.
He just my sourdoughs for me.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's great, his pastries. And he's always, it's again, it's this creative mind of just keep on trying, keep playing around with.
Yep.
But sure, that's what we love doing. That's what's so wonderful about having a kitchen. You go, I'm going to try that. See if it works.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's also trends as well. Like we just had a bunch of bananas and this is mad. I was like, okay, we make this vegan banana bread. I was like, let's just do this banana bread this weekend because it's vegan, we need another vegan option. And it was the most popular thing ever. I was like, we just couldn't keep it in. I was like, what is going on with banana bread? That's so weird.
Is it coming back?
It's so weird.
Sorry, I still can't talk about banana bread.
And then one of the girls that works for me, Anna, she's like, it reminds me of COVID. I was like, I didn't realize everybody was making
banana bread.
Yeah, it was sourdough and banana. I didn't realize that.
I really like nice banana bread.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, the peanut butter bars that everybody loves, like, I tried to sell those 16 years ago. Nobody would buy them. I had to throw them.
They're really popular now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's mad how it's like.
Like, I get asked to do a lot of classes around the healthy snacks.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the peanut butter bars or the protein balls. And they're just so easy to make at home. Yeah, like, you know. Yeah, you've got, you know, there's, I think that's it, it's like just looking at trends constantly and following.
Oh, you have. And sometimes you can be too early. Yeah. You can be too early, because I went to, after the gas explosion, I set up a new menu. We had smoothie bowls, you know, we were making our own oat milk, everything was made from, but nobody bought them.
Yeah.
And you can eat, and it's funny.
A lot of work goes into
them. Yeah. And it's just like, I thought for sure people would be into them, but you know, but it's funny because then Olin from Bean & Berry started doing them over COVID and everybody's into them. You know, that's his kind of base. That's his, yeah. The smoothie bowls, the acai bowls or the dragon fruit bowls and stuff. So he's opened up in the Blue Horizon.
Oh, yeah.
So he's opened a cafe there. But like, you know, in 2015, we sold them, but then we'd make all this nut milk and then nobody would buy the smoothie bowl. And so then we'd have to throw out the nut milk and, you know, just too early. So you can be too early.
You've had an amazing career, 21 years at it so far.
I'm surprised myself.
Another few years to go when you yet.
Yeah.
But how do you, like, what do you do for your balance?
You mean just like life?
Yeah.
Well, I'm currently building a house. So I started that project with my partner and we started before COVID, but then COVID hit and I'm too old to get a mortgage.
Are you doing
it too,
mortgage free?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Exactly. So he's doing, that's on the cards now. So we've gotten going again and I've been living on site because we made a space in the garage to live while we're building the house. So that is the priority right now, is to do that.
That's amazing. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will.
A bit stressful. I wouldn't say it could be a good work balance thing because there will be stress to it, but it'll be fabulous.
And,
satisfying.
No, it'll be great to get that done, but it's still a long way. You know, it's slow and steady. It's not a fast build at all because I just, once the money comes in, I buy stuff. That's all I can do.
Yeah.
And the roof is, you know, the roof is a hefty chunk of money. So I've got to start squirreling away for that.
Are you doing solar? Are you doing eco? What are you doing?
I'm just doing whatever I can afford, basically. But it is definitely super, super insulated. I'd say there will be, you know, whatchamacallits, solar panels, because I think that's required for most buildings now.
There's grants and everything.
Yeah. So that's doing that. And then the whole passive kind of, trying to build it to passive standard,
that's
basically.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And do you get into the sea much?
I do.
I started
going to the sea. And last year, I really got into the hot yoga. So I kind of took a little break back at that again. I booked in for tomorrow. Like, it's easy to have a good kind of work-life balance in Ireland, to be fair. It's a great place to be. It's a great, you know, and especially where we're located by the sea and, you know, Kinsale is so, like, right by us. And, you know.
And I love Kinsale in wintertime.
I do too,
yeah.
It's
all around.
Yeah. That was the great thing about COVID. Nobody was around. Yeah. You know, driving through Kinsale, you're like, oh my God, we have it back again. There's nobody here.
Nothing was open, but no one was there.
But no one was there. And then when the Kinsale market happened, that was like the big.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That was the big busy
time. Are
you down
there at the market?
No, I did years ago. I was in the market when I started when it first started up.
Markets are full on. They're tough going.
They are. Yeah. The markets. The other thing I'm doing is we'll be at All Together now. We'll be doing our little brownie. So I was doing that before. I did a lot of festivals before COVID.
Your famous brownies.
Yeah. So we'll be doing brownies and have a look for us. Say hi.
Yeah. Exactly. So this is amazing, Shannon. Yeah. I've loved this.
Yeah.
You know, if there was any little bit of advice you could give anyone.
Definitely don't be put off by any challenges. Like, there's always a solution. There's always a workaround. Like I said, I've kind of been through it all, but I just say, you know, persevere with what you love.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Follow your dream.
Yeah, because I do think it's, you know, it's something that's worth, you know, as long as you're happy going in and it's bringing you, you can have a laugh and you're working with great people and creative people and whatever you do, like, I do think it's really important to make sure there's a happiness in whatever it is that you're doing.
100%, yeah. I agree completely.
Yeah.
Well, Shannon, thank you so much. Now,
you're
you
welcome.
Are, of course, on Instagram and Facebook and all the usual.
Yeah. You kind of have to be.
You have to be.
You kind of have to be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you, like me, you know, you do everything in the business. Social media, accounts, front of house, back of house, kitchen, you name it.
Yeah.
You know, and understand the business as a whole.
Yeah.
I do like the social media side. It does take time.
It does take time, you know, and I always feel guilty when I'm sitting there doing something and everybody's ferreting around me, busy, busy, busy. And I'm just sitting there like hashtagging.
I know.
It's like, which hashtag should I use now?
I have friends who are unbelievably good. They come on, they talk on it. I don't do that. I do post, you know, probably 3 or 4 times a week. And I do get interaction with it, and it does work.
It does work. Well, so and you're usually too busy in the kitchen to be like, hi,
I'd have great ideas. I go, do you know what now? I'd put on a record, a fast record there, and watch me doing something. Sure, I forget completely to do it. And then all of a sudden, the day's over.
Yeah, it does take time. Like when you're busy working, you're working. Exactly. And you need to get the job done.
You need to get the job done. So if anyone hasn't been, which I'm sure most of you have been, pop into Shannon's Bakery in Ballinspittle. And also bring your jars and go in and get your refills.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's fab in there.
Yeah. And there's and you can save money. You know, that is the other thing. Like save all your spice jars and just refill them. It's like, honestly, somebody refilled one of the jars. It was 50 cents.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
To refill. Yeah.
Your little spice jars that you buy in the supermarkets. If you go into your pantry right now, and guarantee you probably have 5 of them that are out of date.
Yeah.
Empty them out.
And get some fresh stuff.
Down to Ballinspittle you go and get some fresh stuff. And get inspired in that kitchen again and maybe start cooking. I think like if you've them out and you've lovely fresh spices and I think it's a great idea. I love it anyway. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's so great.
It's great to have the chats. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. It has been an absolute pleasure. I've had such a great time in this series talking to just wonderful people. Watch this space. We'll be back and go back and listen to everything else from 2020 when I started. There's some fantastic businesses that I've interviewed and have talked with, and gas to see even that even the ones I interviewed in 2020, their businesses have changed dramatically, a lot of them in such a short space of time. But thank you. I appreciate you. Please do a follow. Please share. It does make an impact. Get the name out there and start sharing the wonderful stories of Cork.
For more Red FM podcasts, go to redfm.ie/podcasts.